made a statement one time. He said that you're not your own, that you've been purchased or bought with the price of the blood of Christ. James 1:17 says that every good and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The word from above is from a higher place. And the word variableness means no change. In the Amplified, it says every good and every perfect, free, large, full. The word perfect there means completion, lacking nothing, or to be complete. It comes down from the Father of all lights, in the shining of whom there is no variation, rising or setting, or shadow cast by his turning, as in an eclipse. In the 18th verse, he said, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creation. And it was his own free will that he gave us birth as sons by his word of truth, so that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures, a sample of what he created to be consecrated to himself. I like that. The word begat means to bring forth from the womb or to give birth. And the word there is a word that is uttered by a living voice and in bodies a conception or an idea. You know, the Bible tells us that all things work together for good to those who are called according to his purpose. All things. And we've talked a lot about the first fruits company of God, that God has brought forth in this hour, that he's teaching, that he's training. And so many times we want to think, hey, look at me. Look what I have accomplished. Paul said, I can only glory save in the cross. Jesus said to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, which is an instrument of death, and follow me. Paul said, I'm crucified, I'm dead. He also said, as I quote in the beginning, that you're not your own, that you're purchased with a price. We are now sons of God, that he has brought forth in according to his purpose, according to his plan, and according to the destiny of the ages. We are a people that he has brought forth in this hour to be on the stage of time in this moment of his own will. Not our will, not what we decided that we would do, but of his own will, he birthed us with the word of truth that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creation, that we should be a sample of what he created to be consecrated to himself. In 1 Peter 1:23 it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. You have been regenerated, born again, not from a mortal origin, seed or sperm, but from the one that is immortal by the ever-living and lasting word of God. You've been born again, not of mortal origins, but from one that is immortal by the ever-living and lasting Word of God. We have actually been birthed into the kingdom of God. And in actuality, you never left it. But we have been awakened to that spiritual dimension that God has for each one of us. And that birthing began a change in our lives. And you know, you can look around and you can see that there's those who have been born again, are satisfied where they are with what's going on with the status quo. But then God has another group of people that have been birthed into a higher dimension of spirituality and consciousness and reality, that have seen a different picture, a now present truth, a revelation of God's word in the now that is totally different from the status quo. A people that he has birthed to be an example of what God has created or is creating in the earth. A first fruits, and that's what it is. And let me tell you something. The first fruits of every move of God that has ever been on this earth is not a place to glory in or to boast in or to be proud of. Those who have pioneered God's message of fresh and a new revelation have absolutely nothing to boast in, because it wasn't their choice. Do you think that Martin Luther would have chosen to suffer what he suffered for what he saw? That the salvation would live by faith? Those that are saved would live by faith? The just would live by faith? Do you think that Paul would have chosen the pathway of rejection and suffering within himself? Or the pathway that he took? But at the ending of his life, if you were to ask these people, would you change anything? I have assurance that they would say no. Because walking in God's present truth is a joyful pathway, even in the midst of the crisis and the realities of life. Because that's where God has preordained that we should walk in that. You see, he begat us of his own will. He brought us forth of his predetermined, predestinated will of God. To be on this earth at this present time and to be walking where we're walking now. It wasn't what we chose within ourselves or decided one day in our life, well, look, I'm going to see these things. No, you can't see them. You cannot see the reality of present truth or to shed the traditions of men unless there is a word or a logos of God, a revealed word of God that speaks within the midst of you. And many have heard a word. I was thinking just recently, you know, the charismatic movement, and I'm certainly not going to put those people down in any way. But, you know, in the 60s and 70s, which was not that long ago, now many of those churches have become a part or affiliated with a loose denominational setting. And they have settled down in that one teaching. But you know, God doesn't stop. God is precept upon precept and line upon line. His word is ever building upon that foundation. You cannot stop. When you're building a house, you're getting the foundation. You're going to stop and settle there? Well, some people have. The foundational principle of being saved or birthed into the kingdom of God, that's all they know. All they have is a foundation. They've never built upon that foundation. And there's others that have built a little further with the Pentecostal realm. Maybe they've got the walls up and the roof on and that's it. And they settle down. You can't stop building until the house is complete. And we will never stop until our house is complete. Because that's God's predestined order for us, is that we're walking in a revelation, that the ending of that revelation is the manifestation of the sons of God in the earth. The culmination of that revelation is a people that are unveiled in the earth that will set creation free. That's the ending of it. And we see that. We see it by the Spirit. We see it as God is unveiling it in us. As God's work is being revealed in the midst of us. In Titus 3:5 it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done. You know, how plain can the word be? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. He saved us not because of any works of righteousness that we have done, but because of His own pity and mercy by the cleansing bath of the new birth, regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which He poured out so richly upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That is Titus 3:5. You see, it's not... Go back to what I said before. Paul said, I can only boast in the cross. You know, if any man could boast, he could boast more. Look at what he did. Look at where he came from. You know, he didn't boast in his Pharaoh days as a Pharisee. He counted all that but done that he may win Christ. But then everything that God accomplished in his life, he did not boast in that because he knew that it was not him but it's God. And that it's not by works of righteousness but according to his mercy that he saved us. And he poured out so richly upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. See, we're not born of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed. There's nothing that we can look at and boast in. It's God. It's our Father. And we walk with Him. If we walk in the Spirit, let us live in the Spirit. Because He is birthing His Word in the midst of us. I love Ephesians 2:10, more especially the Amplified. But it said, for we are His workmanship. You know, you look at what you see around you, say, my Lord, is this His workmanship? You know, we're looking at the outward. We're not looking at the inward man, the God man, that which came out from God. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in. See, it's before ordained that we should walk in. The Amplified says, for we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship. You know, What does it talk about the potter and the potter can't, the vessel can't say to the potter, why have you made me so? You know, giving up, coming to the realization that we've been purchased with the price of the blood of Christ, that we're not our own anymore, that we are sons of God, that He is molding, shaping, and bringing to a day of unveiling His work in the earth. We are His own handiwork. And you look at yourself and you say, well, God, why did you make me thus? God had a reason. God had a purpose. Recreated in Christ Jesus. Born anew. That we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which He prepared ahead for us, that we should walk in them, living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us to live. Now, how much plainer could that be? You know, first of all, you're God's own handiwork. God looked at creation and said, it's good, it's very good. He knew the ending from the beginning. He knew what creation was going to become. And He looked at what He created and He said, it's good, it's very good. Because He knew that in the ending and the predetermined purpose of His creation, that He would gather everything back within Himself. That the bondage would be lifted. That the curse would be done away with. That in the ending of it all, that He would be all and in all. You know, you're born anew. And you're predestinated to do the good works which God has predestinated or planned before us. You know, we as God's children need to become less critical of ourselves. We're basing our criticism of ourselves on man-made traditions. Because we still have not got away from all that man-made teaching that has been put within us. Now we are the sons of God. God didn't put any stipulations on that. He didn't put any preconditions on that. He chose us in Himself. He created us. We are His handiwork. And He planned for the paths that we would take, that we should walk in them. Living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us to live. In Romans 9:16, so he says, so then it is not of him that willeth, listen to that, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. So then God's gift is not a question of human will and human effort. Wow. God's gift is not a question of human will and human effort, but of God's mercy. It depends not on one's own willingness, nor on his strenuous exertion as in running a race. Uh-oh. You can strain all you want to. You can exert yourself all you want to. Lord, I'm going to please you. I'm going to read my Bible an hour. I'm going to church three times a week. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. And then what happens? All of a sudden you fall flat on your face. I tell you, child of God, this morning, that we are entering into a rest. Hallelujah, that we are ceasing from our natural labors. Because you and I, in this natural realm, listen to me, cannot please God. There is coming a day, hallelujah, when this corruptible and mortal that you see with our natural eyes is going to put on incorruptibility and immortality. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the last trump, when the handiwork of God on His first fruits creation is brought to finality and to finish. And the day and the hour and the moment and the second has arrived. By His predetermined plan, He will take the veil off, and His sons will be unveiled in the earth, hallelujah. And creation will look upon the handiwork of the Almighty that is going to bring the Word to set creation free. That day is coming. That day is coming. But I'm telling you that it does not depend on one's own willingness, nor on his strenuous exertion as in running a race, but on God having mercy on him. Man has a due religion. You do like I say, and you're spiritual. God has a be religion. Just be a son of God. That is how simple it is that we be who we are. You know, you don't have to teach a child the ugly things of life, to lie and all of that. That's natural. Well, beloved, when we become awakened into the spiritual realm, born anew, our consciousness has come alive to God. The first thing we want to do is to do something to please God. And it's not what you do. God says, now you are a son of God. He said that you have been planned beforehand, taken the paths which He has planned for you. And that it's not a question of human will or human effort, but of God. It doesn't depend on one's own willingness, on his strength, on his exertion. Strenuous exertion, but on God's mercy upon us. God finished His work and sat down and ceased from His labors. He put all of this into motion, all of creation, and He ceased from His labors. And you and I are entering into that rest in this hour, that we're ceasing from the do's and the do-nots of Christianity and are coming into the rest of being who God has called us to be. Believing what He has said about us. You know, he didn't put any preconditions on that. Now you are His son. No, it's not what I do, but it's what He has already done. God has brought forth a people in this hour. And Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. That's not an audible voice, but it's a knowing. You can be reading the scriptures and all of a sudden there's an illumination, there's an understanding, there's something you've never seen before. So glorious, and it's been there all the time. The Father has spoken His word in the midst of you. And that word will change you. He predestinated us. And in the Greek, to be is not there. He predestinated us conformed to His image. He said, by these precious promises, we are partakers of the divine nature. Notice, He said, by these precious promises, not by what you do or how you act, but by these promises, we are partakers of the divine nature. We are being clothed upon with that divine nature of God that is being made manifest within us by the word of revelation, by walking, by talking, by communication with Him. We are ever being brought closer as we listen to His word within us. My sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow. You see, the word that God has so revealed in us comes to a place where it is such a part of us that we cannot deny it. No matter how many voices outside of us tell us, you're wrong, you're going in the wrong direction, it doesn't matter. You recognize the Father's voice. And in His voice there is love and there is peace. There is joy and there is understanding that He is leading you in the right direction. When you do not conform to religious standards or religious understanding or man's tradition, you're considered a heretic. They tell you you're wrong. They tell you you're going the wrong way. But when God has spoken within you, it doesn't matter. You know that the word that has been spoken within you is the word of the Father that is leading you onward and upward in a spiritual dimension. Further and further away from the traditions of men. And more into a relationship with the Father. And that's where it's at. It's relationship. You know, it's not in all the programs or all the traditions of Christianity. It's in a relationship. The Word tells us obedience is better than sacrifice. It even says that in sacrifice God didn't even want in the beginning. So, all Romans 13, 1 Corinthians 13, if I give my body to be burnt and have not love, I'm nothing. Sacrifice means absolutely nothing to God. Obedience to the word that He has spoken within you. Obedience to following Him. In Revelation 14, it says, Paul said, who are these? John said, who are these? He said, these are they that follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. My sheep hear my voice and follow me. And I tell you this morning that we are following Him into that day that I don't believe is far off. Into that day of unveiling. Hallelujah. Into that day when creation will see the manifested work of God in His sons in this hour. It's a tremendous work that He is doing. Because He's brought us to a place where we're leaning on our Father and knowing that we can do nothing within ourselves. That it is the anointing of God, that it is His power that is moving within us, that is bringing us forth into creation. What a wonderful and glorious Father we walk with. You know, no, there, enough cannot be said about how wonderful and how glorious our Father is. And the work that He is doing in the midst of a people in this hour. We just give Him praise and glory and hallelujah to You, Lord. Amen.